You're listening to the Open Doors Canada podcast. At Open Doors, we work to strengthen Christians where faith costs the most so that they can continue to be the church in some of the most dangerous places on earth. In this podcast, we analyze current persecution trends, share stories from Christians that face high levels of persecution for their faith, and always stand with them in prayer. Thanks for joining us. Here's today's episode.
Hello and welcome back to the Open Doors Canada podcast. I'm Jared, here with Nicolette. This is the podcast where we want to help you pray for your persecuted family by keeping you informed about the realities of religious persecution around the world. Before we begin, there's a couple things I want to say. Number one, if you've been following along anything that Open Doors has been posting on social media or listening to the podcast, you'll know we've been encouraging you to invite your Member of Parliament to our annual Ottawa event where we'll be presenting the World Watch List and the research behind religious persecution to members of the Canadian Parliament. If you've been following along, you'll know that was supposed to happen back in mid-March. Circumstances beyond our control meant it's been postponed. The event is still happening. It'll be happening at the end of April. What this means is there's another chance for you to invite your MP. Exactly. So go to opendoorscanada.org/invite-your-MP. Maybe you already did so. They would have received a letter saying it's happening on such and such a date. That date has now been changed. So even if you did invite your MP, why not invite them again? Yeah. Put the email back in their inbox. Even give them a call to say it would mean a lot to you for them to attend. We're really hoping for a great turnout to this event. This will be at the end of April, God willing. So we're looking forward to that and hope you can help us out by going to opendoorscanada.org/invite-your-MP. The other thing I wanted to say on a little more serious note, this episode is going to deal with the realities of gender and its impact on religious persecution. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be references to assault and sexual violence. Nothing graphic, of course, but there will be references to that. So just be aware if need be. Mm-hmm. With that said, let's get into the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about one of the factors that impacts how persecution looks. See, for millions of Christians around the world, 365 million Christians experience high to extreme levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. But what that looks like can be different depending on many different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at Open Doors we often talk about persecution pressure points and spheres and categories of persecution, and that's our attempt of, sectioning it and categorizing it, and that is helpful when it comes to things like analyzing data to see how persecution gets changes from year to year. The numbers are of course helpful, but the truth is that religious persecution is rarely experienced as like a single isolated pressure point. And we've touched this before, but like if you're experiencing persecution in like the family sphere, odds are it will also go into community sphere as well. They're very related. So there's a lot of things that go into determining what persecution is and how it's experienced in the given country, depending on existing laws and social expectations, etc. And among the factors is gender. And the way gender affects persecution is heavily shaped by an individual socioeconomic context and legal environments.
Right, which is a lot of words to say. Gender equality itself can't be compartmentalized into a neat box. It's a product of a bunch of social factors. It seeps into the way communities, families, and individuals experience their everyday life, from how they access basic necessities such as food and shelter to how their work or home life is structured. In the same way, religious persecution can encompass the pressures within family life and community life, experiences of violence, and beyond. When these two structural forces meet and intertwine in gender-specific religious persecution, the outcomes can have a devastating impact on the way someone experiences their everyday life, the consequences of which can reverberate for years.
Yeah, exactly. So at Open Doors, we have an annual report called the Gender-Specific Religious Persecution Report, or for short, we say GSRP. GSRP.
The GSRP.
We love acronyms at ODC.
At ODC.
The GSRP is an annual report, and it tracks the way that gender impacts religious persecution. So the 2024 report is the seventh annual report, and it came out just a while ago. You might have seen us talk about it on social media already.
We'll link it in the description if you want to read the full report.
Yeah, for sure. It's very eye-opening, but we'll give you a taste of what that's about today. And so we're going to talk about the findings of the report and how persecution looks different for men and women. The gender-specific ways that Christian men and women experience religious persecution remain remarkably consistent over these 7 years of research. Mm-hmm. Commonly, it targets men for their perceived strength as leaders and financial providers, and it targets women for their perceived sexual and familial honor. In countries where Christians face acute levels of persecution for their faith, whether driven by violent religious groups, extended family, or other drivers of religious persecution, a person's gender can be one of the factors that charts the course for the persecution that they face.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the specific ways that women are more likely to experience persecution, and then some of the ways that men are more likely to experience persecution. And I want to make it clear that when we talk about gender-specific religious persecution, it's not like, you know, men have it worse than women or women have it worse than men in this specific context of religious persecution we're talking about. What we want to point out is how being a woman or being a man can impact how persecution looks. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much about who has it worse. It's more about the different ways that it's experienced.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is not necessarily a pleasant way to think, but if you were to consider, like, you know, the persecutor is trying to pressure somebody, mm-hmm. they'll think about what strengths and weaknesses does the individual I'm trying to hurt have. And where can I make it hurt the most?
What can I target,
which is not nice to think about, but it is helpful to consider why it's different for men and women.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit at first about what persecution looks like for women specifically. Once again, all of this information comes from the Open Doors Gender-Specific Religious Persecution Report. So this is going to be sort of a summary. By all means, read about it in more detail if you wish at opendoorscanada.org/genderedpersecution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so globally, women and girls are already subject to numerous pressures and disadvantages in their everyday lives. Yep. We know this. But for Christian women and girls, these pressures compound, meaning they can experience specific gendered forms of religious persecution, as we said. Yep. It's that targeted persecution that, you know, preys on weaknesses or perceived weaknesses. Across the countries on the World Watch List, women and girls commonly experience persecution in the private sphere, often behind closed doors, or perpetrated by those already known to them within their existing communities and relationships.
So, like, we're talking like domestic abuse at the hands of their family.
Yeah, that exactly. Or persecution at the hands of parents, such as forced marriage. In fact, that leads me to the top five pressure points for women. So these are the top areas of persecution that are used to target women in the 2024 reporting period. Starting at number five, these pressure points are abduction, psychological violence, physical violence, sexual violence, and the top one is forced marriage.
There's a bit of a theme there.
Yes. There is. Women are targeted through pre-existing attitudes towards women and socially constructed ideas of what female honor is. So, for example, faith-based forced marriage was identified as a risk for Christian women and girls in 84% of the countries on this year's World Watch List. In parts of the Horn of Africa, young female Christian converts from a Muslim background can be forced into marriage to keep them from dishonoring their families by leaving the faith. They're often forced to marry men that are much older than them. And you can see how this type of persecution obviously overlaps with sexual violence. It's all employed as a means of intimidation and control.
And what's really sad, I mean, there's lots of things that are sad about it, but we mentioned earlier how persecution against women is often carried out by people who are supposed to love them. So, like, you know, we're talking parents forcibly marrying off their daughters for the sake of honor, or husbands abusing wives. Yeah. And one common factor about all this is your earlier point about this occurring behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Persecution against women tends to occur more often in secret, hidden away from the public eye.
Yeah, and it's kind of the opposite when it comes to men, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it can be. So, you know, a lot of the countries on the World Watch List tend to be pretty conservative in terms of gender roles. And so just like women have their femininity attacked and the perceived roles that come with that, men are more often targeted through their perceived role as protector of the family.
Yeah.
So let me run through the top five persecution pressure points against men. Mm-hmm. Number five is forced military service. Number four, economic harassment through a job or business. Number three, government imprisonment. Two, psychological violence. And then number one, physical violence. Mm-hmm.
So there are some overlap with the pressure points against women, but there are some distinct differences.
Yeah, right? So physical violence occurs on both lists, for example. And it's worth noting, something like sexual assault on the list of women's persecution points is obviously also physical. The term physical violence in this case refers to being beaten up, things like that.
Yeah.
And then there's psychological violence. We're talking being monitored, surveillance, pressure to publicly participate in mm-hmm. majority religion, things of that sort. And for men, this kind of violence sometimes leads to threats against the family. So that's what I mean when I say a social role is targeted. Like, if you want to protect your family, you'll recant your faith.
Yeah, yeah. A man's social role is traditionally more public.
Yeah, so a good example of that is the point about economic harassment, losing job opportunities or being fired because of one's faith. You know, I heard a story of one man, his name was Shalman from Bangladesh, mm-hmm. and his family comes from a Muslim background, and some years ago he started following Jesus in secret, including getting baptized. When he was around 25, 26, his family found out about his faith and began to pressure him to come back to their preferred religion. Mm-hmm. He refused. Things escalated to the public sphere. He was brought to the religious authorities, still refused to give up his faith. He eventually lost his job because of that decision, was rejected in his social circles, lost his social standing because he chose to follow Jesus.
Yeah, it's just devastating to hear. There's another story that I've heard from Central Asia of a woman named Gulia who learned about Jesus when she was 16. But her parents disapproved, and their way of dealing with the issue was to put her under house arrest and to ban her from interacting with Christians. So just complete isolation. And eventually she was forcibly married to a Muslim man in the hopes that that would squash her faith. But praise God, she was able to tell her husband about her faith. And even though he doesn't agree, he's not nearly as opposed to it as her parents were.
I mean, that's a better outcome than some stories.
Yeah,
but
it
still
is
difficult.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a quote here from Gulia. She says, "No matter what I must go through, I know that without Jesus, it will not be better. How can I deny him when I know he is alive and always by my side?"
I mean, that's a good quote. It describes the faith of so many of our persecuted brothers and sisters. And those two stories, I think, kind of illustrate the basic point we're trying to get across. How for someone like Shalman, it's his role as a public figure and it's his job and opportunities for employment that in turn would be what he uses to provide for his own family. That's what's targeted. That's the weakness that a persecutor might say, well, if you're not going to recant your faith, then this. Whereas for Gulia, it's, okay, you're not going to recant. Well, then, you know, things like marriage and family are going to be taken away from you, or that opportunity is going to be taken away from you. So once again, we're not talking so much about one has it worse than the other. Mm-hmm. It does, like I said, persecution takes so many different forms based on so many different factors, and this is just one of the factors. But it's an important one. You know, this is Women's History Month, and this is Women's History Month, and at Open Doors we've been talking a lot about what our persecuted sisters face, and that was the theme in the gender-specific religious persecution report this year. Just how these different spheres of persecution can impact an already unstable situation for women. Mm-hmm. So in a minute we're going to close in prayer, but once again, if you want to learn more about what we've just really skimmed the surface of just now, about how gender impacts religious persecution, visit opendoorscanada.org/genderedpersecution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very helpful resource, and it'll help you to pray more specifically when you know, what exactly people face. So we highly recommend for you to check that out.
And speaking of praying.
Yeah, speaking of praying, we're going to take a moment and pray right now. So would you join us in prayer from wherever you're listening from? Lord Jesus, today we're just so grateful that Open Doors has resources for us to learn about what our persecuted family around the world face. And even though it's so hard to hear and hard to imagine, just the high cost that our brothers and sisters face, we know that we can take all of these things and we can bring them before you and lay them at your feet. And so, Lord, today we think of the women around the world that face forced marriage, sexual violence, physical violence, psychological violence, and abduction, and so much more, because they believe in Jesus and because the enemy is trying to squash their faith. And Lord, we think of all the women that are isolated and alone and are facing these horrific things and behind closed doors, and they may feel like nobody knows and nobody cares. And Lord, today we say that we care and we remember them. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be with our sisters in Christ wherever they are around the world. We know that you see each and every one of them. We know that you know their circumstance, and we ask, Lord, would you comfort them? Would you be with them? Would you heal them from their experiences in a way that only you can? We know that your love is transformative, and that the hope that you give us can be almost hard to understand how it can work like that and give us peace that makes no sense. And we pray that for our sisters around the world that are facing these horrific things for their faith. And Lord, we think of our brothers in Christ around the world that are facing physical violence, psychological violence, that are facing imprisonment, economic harassment, and forced military service. And we think of the ways that is difficult for them, for the public humiliation, for the fear of not being able to provide for their families. And we also think of the stigma against men, that they're just supposed to, you know, deal with it with a brave face, even if they're hurting inside. And we know that you see and know all things, and so we ask that you would be with our brothers around the world, that you would strengthen them, that you would that your faithfulness that we see each and every day would be an encouragement to our brothers in Christ in a real way, that they would hold on to you and rely on the peace and comfort and rely on your presence that is with us at all times. And we just pray, Lord, that you would encourage all of our brothers and sisters to keep holding on, to keep persevering, despite the pressures and the violence that they face. And we're so grateful that we can know and partake of what they face just by choosing to be informed of the things that happen. And we're grateful for the opportunity to pray with that knowledge of what happens. And I pray that for all of our listeners that have heard the stories today and the research today, that they would be moved to pray and remember our brothers and sisters around the world. And we're just so grateful that that we get to be together through your Spirit, even if we're in physically different places. So we're so grateful, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, as always, for joining us for the Open Doors podcast. We hope this has been somewhat informative for you. We'll be back again in the next couple weeks with another podcast. Be sure to follow us at Open Doors Canada on all your social media platforms. Check out opendoorscanada.org for the GSRP, as well as all other resources you need to pray for your persecuted family. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Open Doors Canada podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you know when our next episode is out. You can learn more about what persecuted Christians face and how you can help to strengthen them on our social media at Open Doors Canada or at our website, opendoorscanada.org.